Today's passage is taken from Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 to 14. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were huge, were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. This is the word of the Lord.
Oops. Good morning. If you're in Asia, some places, they don't say good morning. They say, praise the Lord. Can we all say praise the Lord? Amen. I just came back. My heart has been filled with God, what God has been doing in three countries that I went to in February for 3 weeks. And my heart has been overflowed with God's blessing. It's all of God. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And especially for the fact that he allows me, an 80-year-old, to still go and survive. And we just don't know how long we have. Just don't know. Last time I spoke here was September. I told some of you about the trip that God put on our hearts. And we never realized what God was going to do. And today I'm combining a bit of that report with the testimony of this passage, Caleb. So I wish after the service you have a few free things that I brought. I always bring my promise books where people can share this little gift with others that are non-Christians or a Christian that needs some promise from God. We all do. We've sang wonderful promises this morning. I was so blessed by those songs that kind of linked up with my message this morning about, and so these songs, all of my life, you have been faithful. That's the testimony of Caleb. That's my testimony and the testimony of someone I will mention. Your goodness is running after me. I don't deserve it. And you never let me go. And even when I came back, I know that, how long do I have? By God's grace, I spent the night in the hospital in Eagle Ridge a week and a half ago. And a couple of people needed Jesus there. I get a little picture of what people are going through, spending the night in the hospital, 5 hours waiting, 4 hours going through CAT scans and blood tests and whatever have you. And I thought, I was speaking in 2 days in Surrey at the Indian Church. I thought, if this doesn't clear up, this pain that I have, I won't be preaching there. But I was preaching there last Sunday, and today I'm here. I went to Japan for 5 days, and one of the 20 people I saw, she's here this morning, Eureka. She's, and she's spending how many days in Canada? 3 days. 3 days. Only Japanese will spend 3 days in Canada. And coming to Vancouver, where she spent a lot of years connecting with people in Langara, Douglas, Focus Club, ISC, and Broadway. And so she's one of my Japanese daughters, one of the 20 people. She organized a reunion at a restaurant. And today she's here Sunday morning with you guys. Another girl that I met in Japan called Mickey, Tall Mickey. She used to be here also for a year or so. And she came here every Tuesday for the Alpha program. and in 2017 or 18. And she, I met her in Japan, and she's coming here in May for 1 week. And so she remembers her time at this church. We had so many Japanese come at that time to the Alpha program. So that's just a little introduction. And it's Happy New Year, right? This is New Year from China in February, but not China New Year. Yesterday, day before, was Persian New Year. Happy Nowruz. So all the Persians are celebrating and grieving at the same time, but they're celebrating Happy New Year. And a few days ago, what did we have? A few days ago was St. Patrick's Day. So at ISC and Broadway, we always celebrate these days. So we had a St. Patrick Irish dinner last week. You missed it. You get it. So that's coming up. That came past. But you know, so many people, they think about Irish in the area of drinking, pubs, wearing green. You know, it's just party time. It doesn't mean anything to them. And the one thing that touched people during this border seminar that I went to in Thailand, where 120 pastors and Christian leaders traveled for 2 days with their motorcycles coming from all over Laos, crossing the border to Thailand. They can cross the border legally for 3 days. It's considered a shopping trip. Food's half the price in Thailand. It's expensive to live in Laos. They have to import a lot of their food, and they make half the money there. They're struggling to survive. So here's 120 people spending 2 days traveling, enjoying 3 days of conference that I was part of. And I wanted you to experience it this morning. And I wish you could have been there, because I had a struggle in even going on this trip, especially when I realized my wife couldn't go with me. I struggled with going and leaving her for 3 weeks by herself. But at the end of these 3 days of that conference, with those 120 Kamu pastors, very simple, devout, going through so many struggles that we can't even imagine. This is their testimony. I'll just show you a brief glimpse for 5 minutes on this video. Watch it with me. Thank you.
Elohim!
Praise God!
Praise God!
There was not just me, but there was two others from a church close by called Basil Hakka Church, the senior pastor and the English leader of the English church there. Both were there at that conference helping me. What a joy, what a blessing it was to be with those people. At the beginning of the time, I said to them, I don't think I'll be back. This will be my last time. At the end of the conference, I said, they're all sad. They're all sad. At the end of the conference, I said, by God's grace, I will come back. If God gives me strength, I will come back. And you should have seen the cheers of those wonderful people. And to think that I almost didn't go. And if I hadn't gone, this conference would not have happened. This conference would not have happened. I'll share more about that a little later. St. Patrick's prayer that touched them, touches us this morning. As we consider coming into the Easter season, I think we should know, most people don't know about St. Patrick, but he devoted his life to going back to Ireland after he was captured as a slave. And he devoted his life to seeing those people come to Christ in Ireland, lay down his life for them. This was one of his most famous prayers. As we go into this session this morning, let us consider this prayer. I establish myself today in the power of God to guide me, the might of God to uphold me, the wisdom of God to teach me, the eye of God to watch over me, the ear of God to hear me, the word of God to speak to me, the hand of God to protect me, the way of God to lie before me, the shield of God to shelter me, the hosts of God to defend me, Christ with me, Christ before me. Christ behind me, Christ within me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ at my right, Christ at my left. Christ in breadth, Christ in length. Christ in height, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks to me. Christ in the ear of every man who hears me, confident in Christ. Lord, may Christ be the center, even of this gathering this morning, and the center of our lives as we think of what also Christ has done for us, that we can never sacrifice anything that is anything remotely similar to what you went through for us. So help us this morning to be like Caleb and to have his experience this morning in our lives as we think of whatever situation we're facing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I got this little clicker, and otherwise Daniel's going to help me. It's easier for Daniel because my focus is on trying to close in time in the next 20 minutes or 25 minutes. So as you can tell, I've been overwhelmed with all kinds of things and trying to find my notes, which I found on the other side. Give me this mountain. Joshua 14, that mountain, those hill countries were the giants that Caleb had been praying for 45 years. And he was one of the two spies that came back with a positive report. And the other 10 had come back in Numbers chapter 13 with a negative report. And we if you know the story, we know what happened. The people listened to the negative report. Those giants, we cannot handle those giants. God made a mistake leading us out through Egypt to the wilderness and now thinking of the promised land. No more was it the promised land. It was the land of huge mountains and giants. They saw the circumstances, the problems, the barriers, but they didn't see the promises of God. Next slide. Daniel, Psalm 67 is may God bless us and gracious to us and make his face to shine on us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. We all want, in our country, we We focus so much on blessings. We want God to bless us. Bless us with a good job. Bless us with a nice car. A good wife. My wife said when I was gone, it was kind of quiet at home. It was kind of quiet. But she had lots of people that checked up on her. But, you know, we want God's blessing of protection. We pray this blessing for my school grades, blessing for my career. But, you know, this passage, this psalmist has a vision of God's blessing is not for us. Your ways may be so that God's blessing, so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. And the only reason he has me alive and us alive today is not only for blessing for us, but that we would be a blessing to others. First thing I saw in Chiang Mai, as we were involved in a church before we went to this retreat in Chiang Mai, in a church that OMF helped establish, the people were wearing t-shirts, and all the t-shirts were saying, blessed to bless, blessed to bless. And they wanted to, the project they were doing is enlarging their facilities so more people could be there, and they wanted the blessing of God so that they can be a blessing to others. Blessing, blessed to bless. And so the first point of this message this morning was basically God's, and Caleb's lesson was God's faithfulness and provision for those who trust him unwaveringly. Caleb and Joshua faced the onslaught of criticism of the whole nation against them, but their faithfulness to God and God's promise to them was blessed by God. And we experienced this as we went, as we three of us went on this trip, God's faithfulness and provision. So this is the map of Asia, Thailand and Laos, and Laos borders China. So we noticed that that country has a lot of Chinese influence now. High-speed train going straight to Beijing from Laos. Highway, modern freeway going north as well to China. We noticed a huge Chinese influence in Laos. It was the first time that my wife and I went. On the right is a little picture of the handcrafts that my wife made as gifts. Did you get one, Eureka? You got one from Japan, all the way from Heather. But where was it made? It was not made in Japan. It was made in our home, Japanese shashiko. And so we were able to give those little green pot holders to those wonderful ladies that were at the conference. So my wife spent 2 months making stuff that took half of my suitcase. Well, just to enlarge on that point of God's faithfulness and provision, my questions this morning to ourselves and you is, do we have the same convictions as Caleb that God would fulfill his promises? He was waiting for 45 years. Do we have the same perseverance as Caleb? He was waiting and waiting and waiting. He's now 85 years old, waiting for God to fulfill his promise. We've been praying for our children. We've been praying for some of these countries. We've been praying for Iran. We've been praying for Laos for many years. A few years ago, this kind of conference would not have existed in Laos. You have the same courage as Caleb. There's still those giants to fight. He was still pressing on. Do we have the same God as Caleb? Is he trustworthy? Is he more powerful than the giants? What kind of giants are you facing? What kind of giants are you facing? Do you have the same God as Caleb? Is he trustworthy? I cannot slow down. I cannot stand still as long as there are people that need Jesus. And every day I ask God to open hearts. And my main mission field when I'm not traveling overseas is still international students. We still had them in our home at Christmas time. One of the girls that came said this was the best Christmas she ever had, coming to our home for a Christmas dinner. The other areas of my mission field is the coffee shop, the swimming pool, and other areas. So when Heather turned, when she turned Her birthday was in January the 31st, turned 77. We even had three or four people from the swimming pool that I contact with. They knew it was my wife's birthday. They showed up with flowers and wished her happy birthday. We had more non-Christians, I think, show up for that than even Christians. But they wanted to wish her happy birthday. And so this is my first point of Caleb's lesson for us. God's faithfulness and provision. And I will share more of how God answered that. The second point for Caleb, the second lesson, is that Caleb had many, many obstacles for 45 years. It was not an easy journey. The people rebelled often. There was a lot of sin that happened in among the Israelites. And you can read about that in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. There are many obstacles before he could receive his inheritance. And so he, and of course those other two spies, the 10 spies said that we will get devoured by these giants. We can't do it. But he warned the people in Numbers 14, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. The giants will devour you, or you will devour the giants. Which will it be? We know what happened with David and Goliath. The giant caused the whole people of Israel to fear that giant Goliath. But David had his focus on God and God's promise to protect him. And he was able to defeat the giant. So there are many obstacles. Next slide is a slide of the family that has labored in Laos from Chiang Mai, Thailand, and Tony and Pastor Yi on the right from Basil Haka Church, and Sion, the little guy in the center. He's a Kamu person with his wife behind him. She's Chinese. I know their journey. I've known them since 1984. In 1976, he fled the civil war that was going on in Laos. And he lived 4 years in a refugee camp in Thailand. Finally, some missionary from Canada sponsored him to come to Vancouver. And so in 1976, he found himself in Vancouver. No money, no language, no. He knew Kamu, he knew the Laotian, but he didn't know anything else. And so his friends told him, you got to make money. You got to get established. You got to learn English. He said, no, I'm going to Bible school. I'm going to Prairie Bible College to train, to be prepared for what God will do with me one day. They said, you can't do that. You don't know English. He said, I know. I know. Yes, no, okay. That's it. So I met him in 1984. As a flunky, he failed the first 2 years because of his lack of English. He passed evangelism, by the way. I was his evangelism teacher. That's all what he would do on the weekends, is evangelize his own people in Calgary. But finally some lady at Prairie had mercy on him and spent hundreds of hours helping him with his English so he could pass the next 4 years. Took him 6 years to graduate the four-year course. In the meantime, he got married, he had a baby that was born there, and he faced all kinds of, he had no money, nothing when he was at Prairie. And so there was a group of ladies that went to visit the wife and the baby when the baby was born. And they opened, and the baby was crying, so the lady said, let's get the baby some milk. And they opened the fridge. And all that was in the fridge was the milk for the baby. No vegetables, no meat, nothing. Just milk for the baby. No. And the ladies went back to the president and the pastor and said, we have a starving family in the town of Three Hills, Alberta. And Sion tells this joke. He said, you just have to know when to open the fridge. After that, they never lacked any food at Prairie Bible College. People gave food and gave food and gave food. And that's how they graduated. And I kind of was there meeting him and saw that one day God was going to use him. 1987, he got hired by FEBC to broadcast to his own people. Started a church in Vancouver, and then he decided to move closer to his own people, to Thailand, to the Khmer people. The Khmer people, the largest minority group, they still do not have a Bible in their own language. But he'd been preaching for 32 years, and FEBC said it's one of the greatest moves of God in Asia, in the world, of now it's harvest time. At that time, there were only a few hundred believers. Today, there's 70,000 of them, since almost 600 churches among these people. You see, these Khmer people are called the slave tribe. Now, this tribe is reaching other people with the gospel. His son has joined him. He's there with the two children. We spent a couple of days there before we moved on. Next slide. So we saw the radio studio where he's been preaching every day for 32 years. Many times when people come to this conference, this border seminar, he asked them to raise their hand who had never seen him before. He's not allowed to go to Laos. He's blacklisted in Laos. So they have come from this country, this close country that's run by Communist Party. And a third of them raised their hand. They had heard his voice many times, but they had never seen him before in person. And what a joy it is to meet their spiritual teacher and the one who has helped them to come to Jesus. Next slide. There's obstacles. Timing. Our eyes versus God's eyes. Our eyes versus God's eyes. Caleb silenced the people and said, "We shall go up and take the land, for we can do it. Do not be afraid of them." The people did rebel. They refused to listen. In fact, they wanted to even stone Joshua and Caleb. That's obstacle number two, our eyes versus God's eyes. We so often see the problems instead of seeing God's promises. Caleb saw God and his powers, his power and his promises. The spies were overcome by fear. Caleb was overcome by faith. How many times the church has missed the blessing of God? I remember these are challenges I faced in my own life when somebody said that I should go and work with international students. I said, "I've never been to the university. I've only been to Bible school. And I don't know computer science. They're all into computers and science. I don't know any of that. In fact, my wife still does my PowerPoints for me. I just turn on my cell phone. That's all I can do. How can I reach these students? They're so smart. But you know what? I can teach them to ski. I taught them to fish. My wife is an international cook. They do love her food. They don't usually say no to us, right? To come to our house. They love to come. Just talk to her. She's the evidence. So, kept alive during COVID time as well. So the spy said, "We can." Joshua, Caleb said, "We can." How many times the church has missed the blessing of God? So here is our little team that God put before us. These two guys, I did not want to go. I said, "I'm 80. It's time to slow down. I'm not going to go on any of those trips anymore." But then I heard something. I heard the funding for those border seminars had dried up. They did not have any more funding. And he had told the last border seminar, "There's no more border seminars because they don't have funds for it." And they were all crying. These people were crying. They would not be able to go to these border seminars. I heard about that. I heard, well, it's another reason not to go, because if you have to, then I have to raise the money for this border seminar. So these two people came around, Pastor Yi and Tony, and said, "Hey, we want to go. We're going to go." I said, "I need money." They said, "We'll raise half of it." I said, "Oh, but now they're pushing me. Now I'm getting convicted." And so finally I said, "Yes, I will go. And you guys are going to raise half of it." And they did. Our target at that time was $20,000 for the border seminar. And that little church raised over $11,000 for that border seminar. And so God opened our eyes to see what he could do. And here are some observations on our first trip to crossing the border into Laos after the seminar. We got our visas and we were crossed the border by land into Laos. So a couple more pictures, entering Laos. Here we met on Sunday, the devotion of people that were packed into one little church. Other churches we visited about five or six places where they were expanding and trying to, and there I met those two people in the center, those two people between Tony and Pastor Yi. They shared that they had spent a month in prison for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Month in prison. And then they let them out and they continued to do what they were doing. And the police came around again and says, we're going to arrest you again. And the 60 believers that were around them says, if you're arresting our shepherds, we're going to go with them. Sorry, we're going to join them. Yes, they were ready to join them. How many people will join Pastor Norm when he goes in prison? We don't even want to visit the prison when we're allowed to visit the prison. And so that was the testimony. And so the police backed off and let them continue. We had lots of joy and fellowship and sharing together what God was doing there. Next slide. There was one building that we also helped. We had some extra funds that we gave, and that building was under construction. That building is complete now, and on the right you see the completed building with believers enjoying God and God's word and food together. So we actually helped complete four church buildings that were under construction where they needed to be completed. Next slide. But that also, the day we entered Laos, we heard about three homes that got burnt and a church that almost got burnt. It was very close to the church building. And there we met, we heard about that, and we were able to also help out with, again, extra funds that were given to us. And we met the lady on the right on top whose husband had been shot and killed 3 years ago. She was part of that conference. She was one of the martyrs because her husband had been very fearlessly proclaiming Christ. He was warned to stop. 3 years ago, two motorcycles with hoods came down and shot her husband seven times there. But she has continued to follow the footsteps of her family. Those are some of the supplies that we helped provide. Next slide. Just before I'd like to share a couple of reports. You can find some of the summary in my newsletter. Here's one of them, from Tony. He said, what we are witnessing is deeply moving and biblical. Their prayer requests are anything but ordinary. They're not praying for comfort, convenience, and personal success. Their prayers are centered on one thing, the expansion of the kingdom of God. And in one brother in village, they were praying for a brother who has a house, that God would open his house and give him courage to use his house as a house church. They are seeing his house not as a personal property, but as God's instrument. And they're praying in another village that God would give the provisions to build a church on a piece of land they already purchased in faith. They step forward in obedience, trusting God to provide what they cannot see. In another two villages, we saw buildings under construction, waiting for roofs to finish the job, finish the church. So that what really touched us was the story I just mentioned about the 60 believers that were willing to follow their pastor to jail. They chose to stand with their shepherds and, if necessary, to suffer with them. Their unity and courage became a great testimony, and local officials were so moved by their faith and love and peace that they gave them permission to gather and worship. And so here is my struggle. Should I even go on this trip? Because I have to raise $20,000 for the seminar. So there's my struggle, but when I saw these things and when I was at that conference, God touched my own heart. So do not pray, bless me, but bless me to bless others. Caleb's only focus was, oh God, I want you to be glorified. I want you to receive honor. I want you to be, your name to be exalted among these people that do not know you. Most of these people were animists and worship evil spirits before. And so Sion had been doing this for almost 40 years, 35 years. He's now 73 years old, and his vision has not decreased. His vision has inspired me and challenged me, as well as the devotion of these people. And so there's a couple other things that blessed Caleb, that helped Caleb. And what was that? Faith. Faith. Caleb had faith in a mighty God. Abraham claimed this promise for many years before he got one son. Corrie ten Boom says, faith sees the invisible, believes the invisible, and receives the impossible. Hudson Taylor had said this, three steps to every work of God. Three steps. What are they? First, it's impossible. Second, it's difficult. Thirdly, it's done. It's done. And so, thank God I was able to get home again. Faith. Caleb believed and saw the promise of God. He looked to God alone. He laughs at impossibilities and cries, it shall be done. It shall be done. The very same giants that the 10 spies saw, these giants did not deter their faith of Caleb. So these people faced many challenges in Laos. Their challenges make us look like our challenges are very small. At the end of the conference, they were challenged to obey, not to look back, to take care of those, to take on those giants and obey and follow Jesus no matter what the cost. And I saw the weeping and crying for repentance, and I saw a spirit of revival. Couple more slide pictures there at the end. There are some of the conference pictures. People were able to pick up 6,000 or 8,000 Bible lessons to take back with them to Laos. Some of these ladies in the front row taking notes, everything they take notes. They went from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, just filled with praises, singing, and worship, and God's word. So there is just a little taste there in those pictures. Next slide. And of course, these ladies are holding up those potholders that Heather made them on the right. And of course, we have wonderful food. Many times they will never get this kind of food when they're in Laos. Sometimes they're lucky if they get meat every month or every 2 months. And so every day they had great food. They really enjoyed. Next slide. Then I've closed off in Japan for 5 days and I was able to meet people. Two girls that flew across the country from Okinawa and another place. One of them brought her 10-year-old daughter across the country to see me. She was here 15, 16 years ago. I met her she was here for 6 months, and now she's married. She has 2 children, and she said, if you're not coming to my town, I'm flying to Tokyo. With my daughter doesn't miss school, mind missing school for 2 days. It'll be an educational lesson. So she took us on a half a day bus trip. And so here is some of the gifts that we gave them, and the fellowship and the reunions we had. And even 4 people that couldn't meet me met me at the airport in Narita. So we were able to reconnect with about 20 people in Japan. Closing thoughts this morning. Summary. God did far more than we ever asked or expected. Financially, our goal was $20,000. You guys prayed. Other people prayed about 6 or 7 churches, and we raised $42,000. $42,000. In fact, the last Sunday, I was going the very next day, February the 8th or 9th. I was leaving the next day, but this church hadn't had me speak for a long time, and they helped me start international student ministry. And so I had an engagement for 2 Cantonese services and 1 English service. The first one started at 8:30 in the morning. I said, well, I think I'm going to Japan tomorrow. I'm going to Asia tomorrow. And I've raised all the money we needed. But they have such great needs in Laos. So I'm just asking God for another $5,000. And one man came to me afterwards and said, you got it. You got it. Well, now I had my $5,000, so I had 2 more services to go. So the last service, I said, I got my $5,000 in the morning. I said, I'm asking for another $5,000. And one man says, what's left? I said, well, the church just told me that they had $2,000 in their budget they're going to give, so I need $3,000. He said, you got that too. And so I got raised $10,000 in one Sunday. Wow, praise the Lord. You know, that was a good Sunday. The next day I was on my way. He did far more. God gave us. He blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. The next slide. Keep it there. Your prayers and support was multiplied. as these 120 leaders will share the message of Christ all over Laos and keep spreading the gospel of Christ. And so the blessings of what we have given, building four churches, helping those people that lost their homes, that it just multiplies and multiplies. Three, Tony Chung is now asking God to send young people from his church to minister to the youth camps in Laos. And so we can pray that the follow, that he's so excited that instead of them spending money on themselves, that they would go and do a mission trip to the youth. There's a lot of young people coming to Christ. Four, these simple believers touched our hearts with new commitments to Jesus and helping us to spread his kingdom to the needy nation of Laos. Five, this is a true evidence of God's family working together from seven churches and from about 60 donors and many people who prayed. Thank you so much for those who helped. Number six, it humbles us to realize if we hadn't listened and obeyed, this border seminar would not have happened, and we would not have had this great blessing from God. And I'm just thankful that I listened to God and I was willing to go. And seven, reconnecting with 20 former students in Japan was the conclusion of my missions trip. It's encouraging to see some going on for God, others still searching, and others whom I can encourage. Am I willing to go again? I already told you. I'm willing to go again if God enables. What's our response this morning? Next slide. What is the mountain God has put before you to claim for him? What is the mountain God has put for you? Is it some soul that needs Jesus this week? Is it some other battle that you're facing? What is the mountain? What is the giant? Are you willing to obey? When you go into the coffee time, I have two sheets on the table there. One of them is my prayer of commitment to intercession. Very, very, I think if you read that prayer and use it, even once a day or once a week, this prayer can help you to discover what God wants you to do. What mountain does he want you to overcome? I did a Bible study on this topic about giants and mountains. And I also got that Bible study here. It's got 10 mountains. 10 mountains. Temptations from the enemy to cause us to become ineffective in God's cause, to stop us from reaching God's potential for us, to hinder God's work, to cause us to give up in the work of the Lord, and to make us join Satan in his evil work. And can Christians be joining Satan in his evil work? Absolutely. Remember Peter? Jesus said to him, "Get you behind me, Satan." Because Peter was trying to tell Jesus not to go to the cross, not to suffer for us. And so Peter was being the spokesman of Satan to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And later Jesus said to Peter, "I have prayed for you, that after you fail, you will fail. After you fail, you will help the brothers and sisters." And so I have a few copies of this in the coffee hour. You can take it. And I talk about the mountains of, number one, distraction, delay, difficulties, defeat, mountain of doubt and fear, mountain of despair, mountain of discouragement, mountain of deception, mountain of depression, and mountain of division. These are all found in the Bible. And you have three questions for every mountain that you face. And number one mountain I put on is mountain of distraction. Distraction. Do you get distracted ever? Oh, no, you don't get distracted. No, no cell phone with you. You never try to see what the notifications are or anything else. Can distraction be harmful? Of course. Especially when it keeps you from hearing God's voice. And I had a distraction because I have same temptations as you do. I was at a stoplight just a week or two ago, and I thought I should use some of my spare time to see what my cell phone was saying. Yeah, it's a stop sign, right? It's a red light. I have to wait there so long at this red light. Yeah, there was somebody else watching me as well. That cost me. Cost me. But it's better than having an accident. But it did cost me over $300. I could have used that money for Laos, built another church. But I was distracted. I was distracted. And I didn't even tell my wife for a whole week. Last Sunday, I mentioned it in church. She's not here this morning. Let's pray. Are you willing to obey? Thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for touching our hearts this morning. We sang wonderful songs of praise and worship. And we concluded, Lord, to think of you and what you want us to do. And Lord, Caleb could have had any number of obstacles that stopped him from getting to the promised land and from claiming his inheritance. But he held to his faith. He held to the willingness to risk his life even to defeat those giants. And you blessed him. You blessed him because he was not focused on himself, but going on and on at the age of 85 to new territory for God. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you'll not stop us, and that we'll not be stopped by some satanic temptations that are all around us. Materialism, humanism, all the focus troubles that are facing us, high gas prices. When we look at the news, it can get very discouraging. But Lord, we're not looking at the news. We're looking at the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's on the throne today, and he's accomplishing his purposes in Iran, in Laos, in all these other countries, because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh Lord, help us to make this commitment to you today, to whatever giant or mountain we're facing, that we will cast it into the sea and say, God is greater. God is greater, and he can do the impossible. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.